Radio Daily for Entire Friday.
Well, what a weekend then, right? Sparrow, sorry about the Jackbox thing. Forgot about the party thing. So we will doubly make fun for that this coming time. But hey, everybody. Thanks for coming out and playing poker. Good times.
It was fun.
You don't count all the crazy bluffs and suckouts on the river. Other than that, no, fantastic. Welcome to Ghost Skateboarding Day, which you might know as the 21st of June with the fine folks at BeatRadioDaily.com.
Dang.
The folks that are bringing the team today, well, the lady you should never say, hey, well, at least I'm different. That's a flinstress.
Being different might not be as rewarding as you think it is.
Maybe not. Hi, everybody. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You step out of line, you make one false move, you're out of here. Don't think you're the first.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. What happened on this fine day?
Well, let's take it back to the year 528. Hank Martin from 20th century Connecticut, USA, is hauled before King Arthur and sentenced to death by bonfire. Having read in his pocket almanac that an eclipse will occur at noon, Martin threatens that he will blot out the sun if he's not released. When his threat comes true, he's proclaimed a great wizard and prime minister, dubbed Sir Boss. That's a Yankee in King Arthur's court.
1808, French chemist Joseph-Louis Gay-Lussac announces the isolation of the element boron.
1889, British photographer William Fries Green receives a patent for the first cinematograph camera specifically designed to make use of a perforated celluloid film that only shoots film at a rate of 4 or 5 frames per second.
1893, the first Ferris wheel is premiered at Chicago's Columbian Exposition, America's third World Fair.
1859, Andrew Lanergan of Boston, Massachusetts, receives the first patent for a rocket. His design allows for the fuse, which he calls the match, to be preassembled with the rocket.
1948, the first successful long-playing microgroove phonograph records are introduced to the public at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City, made of non-breakable vinylite plastic and designed to be played at 33 1/3 RPM. I've broken many of them.
Right? 1951, CBS increases its color television programming to 4.5 hours a week.
Whoa. 1969, the final episode of Doctor Who serial The War Games airs in England. It's both the final episode to be broadcast in black and white and the last to feature Patrick Troughton as the Doctor.
In 1979, Sony announces the Walkman tape player to the public in Japan. Before the new player is released, the press lampoons the product, predicting it'll never catch on. No one wants a tape player that doesn't have a record function.
I had one that did. 1985, TriStar Pictures releases the sci-fi horror film Life Force, directed by Tobey Hooper, starring Steve Railsback, Peter Firth, Frank Finlay, and Patrick Stewart, in which a space shuttle mission investigating Halley's Comet brings back a malevolent race of space vampires who transform most of London's population into zombies. It's
wow.
A real good time.
1991, Buena Vista Pictures releases a superhero film, The Rocketeer, directed by Joe Johnson, starring Bill Campbell, Alan Arkin, Jennifer Connelly, Timothy Dalton, Ed Lauder, Jen Polito, and Terry O'Quinn.
It's a real good time. 2002, 20th Century Fox releases the sci-fi thriller Minority Report, directed by Spielberg, starring Tom Cruise, the film based on the short story, The Minority Report.
2004, Spaceship One becomes the first privately funded vessel to achieve spaceflight, and Mike Melville will become the first civilian to pilot a craft into space.
2005, Cosmos One, the world's first solar sail spacecraft, is launched aboard a Vona launch vehicle fired from a Russian submarine submerged in the Barents Sea. It didn't actually quite make its intended orbit.
Yeah. 2006, DC Comics releases Week 7 of the comic series 52. The issue featured the first cameo of the new Batwoman character, also known as Catherine Kate Kane. This new incarnation of the character, who first appeared in Detective Comics number 233 in 1956, is written as a lesbian of Jewish descent in an effort by DC to diversify its characters to connect with a wider audience. Reviews are initially split between criticism and praise of Batwoman's new sexual orientation, but the character will soon come to be recognized as the highest profile gay character ever featured in a DC comic series.
Miss you, Ruby Rose. Pluto's newly discovered moons are officially christened Hydra and Nix by the International Astronomical Union. The moons were formerly known as Pluto 2 and Pluto 3, or P2 and P3, respectively. Then Sony sued.
Right. 2009, birth of baby Diego, the last youngest person on Earth from Argentina and Children of Men.
That tracking shot at the end is astounding. Birthdays?
Chris Pratt is 42 from Parks and Rec, Jurassic World, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Juliette Lewis is 48 from What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Natural Born Killers, Strange Days, from Dusk Till Dawn.
Whip it. Carrie Preston is 54 from True Blood, Person of Interest, and Good Wife.
Jim Brewer is 54 from Saturday Night Live, Half Baked, Other Things.
Yep. David Morrissey is 57. You know, he was in that episode, The Next Doctor, and he was the governor on The Walking Dead.
Berkeley Breathed is 64, the creator of the best comic strip of all time, Bloom County. Thank you, sir.
Michael Gross is 74 from Family Ties, Tremors, and 100 Million BC.
Meredith Baxter is 74 from Family Ties, was Betty Broderick's story, Dan versus the Real World.
Lyman Ward is 78 from Elm Street 2, Sleepwalkers, Ferris's Dad, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Marriott Hartley is 81 for The Magnificent Seven Ride, Return of Count Yorga, Encino Man, and Dr. Fields in the pilot of The Incredible Hulk.
Bernie Coppell is 88, that's Doc on the Love Boat.
No longer with us, born this date in 1850, Daniel Carter Beard co-founded the Boy Scouts.
Born in 1921, Jane Russell from The Outlaw, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, and Born Losers.
1925, Maureen Stapleton, Airport, Summer 42, and Ma Kelly and Johnny Dangerously in Cocoon.
Well, ain't none of that going to be on TV tonight, but on CBS, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood. Bob Hart's Abishola's, CSI New Orleans, and a rerun of Bull.
That's a good show. ABC, The Bachelorette, Carson Kressley and Iggy Azalea on a new The Celebrity Dating Game.
NBC, Track and Field, 2020 U.S. Olympic Team Trials, ooh, and Qualifiers 3 on a new American Ninja Warrior.
Fox has a new Hell's Kitchen, House Broken, and a new Duncanville.
On the CW, we get a new All-American, and then when Greylock Powers is shut off, Sarah faces her first major challenge as a leader, so she proposes a controversial idea that involves inviting Danny and Leiden Industries back to town. Wow. On a new The Republic of Sarah.
Freeform has Shrek 2, followed by Shrek Forever After, because they don't do odd numbers.
No. AMC Lethal Weapon.
They do odd numbers. Bravo has Reunion Part 1 on your new Below Deck Sailing Yacht.
Wow.
Look back at the season.
FX is showing Bohemian Rhapsody.
FXX, your Simpsons Marathon, The Day the Earth Stood Cool, Homer Goes to Prep School, and Hardly Kirking.
Nice. FXM, The House with a Clock in Its Walls.
Paramount has Forrest Gump.
Sundance is showing Crocodile Dundee 2.
Not even the first one? 2? Okay. Siffy has Jurassic Park.
TBS Stan's imaginary friend from childhood returns to collect what's owed, and Klaus is in need of a better fish bowl for his upcoming date on a new American Dad, and then new Final Space.
Maybe they should have given him a new bowl by now.
Right?
TNT has 2020 NBA playoffs, because that is still happening.
True TV Dumb and Dumber 2.
Because that is still... Science Channel Ghost Stories, Riddles of Island Ruin, on a new Mysteries of the Sea... And on New Mysteries of the Abandoned. I don't even know what the hell that show is, but we're watching the Hallmark Channel because a couple decides to end their long engagement ahead of one's upcoming book tour, and the other's plans to expand their business by booking a small venue and inviting a small group of friends and family to attend the special ceremony. Taylor Cole and Jack Turner star in One Perfect Wedding.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. After saving him from a fiery car wreck, Officer Abby begins a relationship with corporate lawyer Chad, which quickly becomes a sexually charged affair that raises both of their temperatures. Abby doesn't quite know what to think. She's never done something like this before. Well, almost that one time she was deep in the valley, but this situation makes her feel vulnerable, like she's in a glass trap. Maybe she'll work out her frustration by going home and putting up the blue tiles. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Hey, I know this one as well. This week, Chad and Abby are on Private Eye, which I know because that's how I discovered Josh Brolin in the first place. Don't ask me what that led to. That is from Donna. Well, Donna, there is no shaming here of any kind whatsoever. Well, unless you support the wrong football team. But this is not a sports show. But no, you're absolutely right. That is the show that they were on. So congratulations. One more week. Then we get to pick a winner after that. Dun, 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 dun. So Yay. Tell us who it is this week. Drop a note. Podcast. GeekRadioDaily.com. Send a voicemail, a text message. Just use the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CREW.
We did almost play Jackbox Waiting in Line at ZZQ, though.
Do you like to study? Are you kind to creatures of all shapes and sizes? Do you believe in monsters? Then Baron Davis and the Monster Rangers want you. Monsters hide in plain sight. Boys and girls can see them, and so can you if you just use Baron Davis's patented Imaginate process involving self-discipline, wonder, and candy. Monster Rangers are kind, honorable, spooky, thrifty, and irreverent, while the evil Dr. Duke Davis and his plug uglies are mean, full of bunk, and your run-of-the-mill mullygrubs. Join us to help defend the land of Monstru. Monsters around the globe are in trouble and need our help. So if you've got the moxie, then log on to your nearby terminal and go to monsterrangers.com. Believe, study, protect.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
Thanks so much, by the way, because
It really makes it all worthwhile. Thank you for being here.
Okay. We're off.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
Look it up if you like. In the meantime, what can we play, yo?
Well, inside this book lies the ultimate combination of the martial and the mystical. With 35 pages packed with power, you can find most anything you would wish for to enhance your game. From the divine juggernaut known as the Epicoctoy, to the mysterious dancer of the Seven Veils Guru, the time-cracked quantum voyager, or even the blood-drenched Jaksham Davik. Look to the stars and gain the power of the Nebula Zodiac and their deadly new constellations. Bolster your friends and befuddle your enemies with the Roaring Mouse Discipline, and access ancient martial items like the Martial Script or the Kessick Scabbard, with many more options including 16 new feats for initiators and Akashic characters. Your foes will tremble at your newfound might. That's Akasha Reshaped, Path of Enlightenment from Moonhand Press.
An illegal bar disguised as a dance hall, the sprawling area made of 8 rooms in total. It's fairly secure with a hidden sentry box by the main entrance, a hidden buzzer behind the bar if there's a ruckus, and the booze is hidden as well, within hollow panels in the wall. Got a stage for singers and performers, couple of rooms set aside for some serious card games, newly added roulette table, adorned with a dozen paintings. One of the regulars is an artist, and he's the brother of the lawyer who also enjoys this place, which has some strong criminal ties. The owner is a freelance gangster and maintains a consistently smuggled supply of dark rum from Jamaica. The owner can be found at work here or hanging out with the artist and lawyer. It's a peaceful night. They're just discussing their different worlds over rum. Roaring 20s Speakeasy Generator from D-Tim Dimensions.
Oh, here's one. A curse has hit Baron Anais Galvan and the result of his son Philippe's bad deeds. The young nobleman dishonored the beautiful daughter of Lady Josepha, the beautiful Joanna, and did not commit to the girl. The Lady Josepha, a woman of knowledge of magic and necromancy, cursed the nobleman's son and all his servants. Philippe was turned into an undead and his property cursed. Baron Anais hires heroes to invade the place and break the spell to bring the nobleman's son back to his normal condition. However, for this to happen, it is necessary to face a horde of zombies and unknown dangers. There's rumors that the property where Philippe lives is the secret to breaking this spell, but it is said that Lady Josepha didn't only place zombies on the site. Skeletons of dead people attack the unwary, and there's a rumor that even a lich is present on such a property. Is this true, or is it the exaggeration of scared peasants? Pay what you want for this one-shot style adventure, The Cursed House, from Volex House.
The town of Twinkle Vale is holding its annual Rainbow Festival and parade to celebrate the summer's peak, as well as love, peace, and diversity. This celebrating focuses on fae magic, and in particular the fabled rainbow unicorn. It's believed if someone spots the unicorn during the parade, the town will have 100 more years of peace. Unfortunately, not everyone likes the Rainbow Festival. When the tyrannical Templars arrive to hunt and capture the rainbow unicorn, it's up to you to stop them and rescue the unicorn from their evil grasp. In honor of Pride Month 2021, available for download on a donation basis, so you get to pay what you want for the Rainbow Unicorn Quest from Micro RPG.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Netflix has given a 10-episode straight-to-series order for a half-hour workplace comedy set in the front office of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Will they have powers? Will this finally fill the void left by the Super Globetrotters?
No, because unfortunately, this untitled project follows a fictional team governor, Eliza Reed, as she navigates NBA ownership and family drama with her best friend by her side.
See the merchandising meetings, arguing with agents, Wilson Phillips karaoke nights.
That would be cool. Elaine Koh, EP of Modern Family, will write, and again, EP. Showrunner is Mindy Kaling, also going to be executive producing. I don't know if you have more than one. It's always weird to me. Janie Buss, Linda Rambos, and Howard Klein will also executive produce.
Not LeBron? Anthony Davis? Kyle Kuzma?
Somebody. This is the second scripted show about the Lakers to get ordered to series in the past few years. HBO ordered a drama about the so-called Showtime-era Lakers of the 80s back in 2019. Personally, I'd rather see the real-life story of Ted Denslow as he started basketball. Steve Perry!
Wow. Well, Facebook announced that it would add information to its community standards about its so-called satire exception when moderating content. The change was made in response to a recent decision by its oversight board that required it to reinstate a comment with an adaptation of the Two Buttons meme commenting on Turkey's response to Armenian genocide.
Everybody sweats over that meme.
Well, Facebook said that the information update would allow teams to consider satire when assessing potential hate speech violations, which was the issue in question with the Two Buttons meme. The company said the update would be completed by the end of the year. Facebook is only fully implementing the board recommendation on the satire exception and is assessing feasibility of the other recommendations made based on the case.
Please tell me they created a department of satire.
Right? Sign me up. In addition to one of the board's other recommendations, which advised Facebook to ensure it has adequate procedures in place to assess satirical content and relevant context by providing content moderators with additional resources, the company revealed that it had already been working on a new satire framework for its regional escalation teams. However, it is currently determining how to apply this review at scale.
Especially considering you can't hear tone online.
Right. Facebook stated that stakeholders ranging from academic experts and journalists to comedians and representative of satire publications it is engaged with for the framework and pointed out that humor and satire are highly subjective across people and cultures. The company was also said that it is important to institute human review of humor and satire by individuals with cultural content. You know, like Fozzie Bear or your mom or Lieutenant Steve Houck, because deep down, he knows funny. And Edie Gourmet.
2 years after EA described FIFA's loot boxes as surprise mechanics, the publisher might finally be backing down under enormous international pressure because EA has announced that you can see what's inside a Festival of Football Ultimate Team pack before you buy it.
A spoiler, sweetie.
With multiple governments demanding changes, as ever-increasing number of lawsuits labeling the pack purchasing as gambling and gambling charities putting out research to demonstrate the links, it was only a matter of time before EA had to give in. Though it remains an astonishing display of stubbornness to have taken this long, especially after it was leaked back in April, how deliberate all this loot box nonsense seemed to be.
They made almost as much as banks did on fees.
You keep previewing until you get the cards you want, and once you've peeked inside, the pack and others of its type are put on a refresher timer. During the time, you can't preview anymore, but then you can still buy the pack you previously scanned. After that, it erupts into virtual flames. And you can start over.
So they put one card in every pack and you still spend too much.
Ding, ding, ding. Either way, it looks like the publisher has finally relented, at least for a little bit, in the form of the Festival of Football. They're ambiguous about whether the previewing will continue with the return of the regular packs, but you can find out now by purchasing EA's news crates.
Wow.
I'm sure.
For reasons I can't begin to figure out, thousands of people want Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos to buy and eat the Mona Lisa.
Well, a little Gioconda with Parmesan is awesome.
End of last week, an online petition for Bezos to buy and eat the famous painting suddenly started picking up traction. The funny thing is, the petition isn't even new. It was started a year ago by a Maryland musician named Kane Powell. Powell said he and his friends went on Applebee's talking about Bezos, given that Amazon was in the news at the time, and he said he should just buy it, just because he has enough money to do it. It would make a huge statement, he said.
And, you know, he also has an inside line on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Right? But Powell and his friends weren't done. Powell said that not only should Bezos buy the painting, he should also eat it. When asked why, he said Bezos eats the painting. He says, I honestly don't know.
I mean, like, we were high and eating munchies. It came to us.
Right, man?
We were at Applebee's, dude.
Well, eating it apparently wouldn't be that weird in the art world. Amy Adler, an art law expert and professor at the New York University School of Law, said that the hypothetical idea of Bezos buying and eating the painting would fall within the tradition of destruction of art as a way of creating art. Bullshit. Other artists have carried out this practice in recent decades, Adler noted, such as Robert Rauschenberg, who spent a month erasing a drawing by Willem de Kooning in 1953.
Not to mention Mr. Bean's addition to that Whistler painting.
Judging by the Louvre's reaction, there appeared to be little chance that Bezos would have the chance to buy the Mona Lisa, much less eat it. Though he might have had a chance with Van Gogh's The Potato Eaters or Warhol's Soup, or at least pick up a bite at Hopper's Nighthawks.
Open all night, I hear. NASA's Artemis 1 mission to send an Orion spacecraft around the moon is getting more real by the moment. First, NASA assembled its massive SLS rocket. Now, the mission's non-human passenger, or Moonikin, needs a name.
I thought they were sending Mac tonight.
The space agency has a name, the Artemis Moonikin Challenge, to decide what the man-shaped mannequin will be called. The uncrewed flight is targeting takeoff for later this year. The mannequin will allow NASA to collect data on how the journey might impact a real human body.
What about Vince or Larry? No, those are dummies.
NASA has narrowed down the names to 8 possibilities. Ace, Wargo, Delos, Duhart, Campos, Shackleton, Montgomery, and Rigel. Each name has a significance. A stands for Artemis Crew Explorer. Duhart would be dedicated to Irene Duhart Long, Chief Medical Officer at NASA's Kennedy Space Center.
Are you sure it wasn't Wario?
I will look again. The names will go up for a vote on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram in a bracket-style challenge whose final vote takes place on June 28th with the official name announcement coming on June 29th. And NASA says, please, stop asking. No matter what you say, no, they will not be calling it Moony McMoonface.
Oh, man.
I know. But it's been ruined.
Jeremy McMooderson.
License of the Creative Common Attribution. Non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekroaday.com. And all that good stuff.
M-O-O-N.
That spells Moonface once indeed. Drop us a note and let us know what's going down with you and yours. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, a voicemail, a text message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
That's right. Stereo, baby. Don't you like that?
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
Funny, I detect no source of amusement.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers!
Oh my God, look at this place. It's like a museum of failure.
Oh, that for nothing! And we've only got 20 minutes to the funeral, don't forget. Then back to the TARDIS, right?
Funeral?
Oh, long story. Not my own, not yet.
Oh. Oh. I'm not as young as I was.
Well, not as young as you were when you were me.
When I was who?
You really don't recognize me?
Not at all.
But you're the Doctor. The next Doctor. Or the next but one, a future Doctor anyway.
Oh.
No, no, don't tell me how it happened. Although, hope I don't just trip over a brick. That'd be embarrassing.
Then again, painless.
Worst ways to go depends on the brick.
Well, you're gabbling, sir. Might I ask, who are you exactly?
No, I'm just Smith, John Smith. But I've heard all about you, Doctor. Bit of a legend, if I say so myself.
Modesty forbids me to agree with you, sir, but yes, yes I am.